Hiya.
Hi, Angela. Is this more better for yourself?
Yeah, I'm in the car now, so I can talk.
Perfect. Happy days. I won't keep you long. I'll be as quick as I can so you can get home and have a nice cup of coffee. Okay, so yeah, just introducing myself one more time. My name is Aaron. I'm from INS Law, and I'm just here to progress your inquiry that you've made to the Scottish Redress Scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm just going to start off by gathering some generic details from you for data protection.
Okay.
So how am I best titling you, Angela? Is it Miss, Mrs. or MS?
Mrs.
Mrs. Okay. And I've got your first name here, Angela, surname Hobson. Any middle name at all?
Nope.
Okay. And I've got your email address here as angieface@mail.com.
Yep.
Perfect. And what's your date of birth, please?
7th of January, 1975.
Okay. And your current home address?
It's 2 Larkside Avenue.
Did you say Lapside?
Lark, like the bird Larkside.
Larkside Avenue. And what area is that in?
It's in Walkden, Manchester.
Okay. Yep, I've got that here. Okay, perfect. Just be with me. Okay, and in terms of the communication preferences with yourself, are we okay to send you an email and a text as well as give you a call?
Yeah, probably email and text is better unless you need to speak to me about something specific.
Okay, perfect. Well, I will make a note of that on your file as well. Predominantly, most of the time will be email and phone. If you can't catch you by phone, you'll always find out on the emails what that was regarding.
Okay.
And then the text is just simply just a little text message to say that you missed a call from ourselves or something.
Yeah.
Okay. And is there any terminal illnesses that you need to make me aware of?
Nope.
Okay. Would you like to add a beneficiary to your application?
I need to talk about what it is that I'm applying for first. That was why I made contact, because I'm not really sure what the redress scheme means in terms of what I experienced when I was in care.
Yep, okay. So basically the redress scheme, they offer financial payments, apologies and support to survivors of historical child abuse in care prior to the 1st of December 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Basically the four types of abuse that is applicable to the scheme is neglect, physical abuse, emotional abuse and sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be a wrongdoing to blame an individual. Even though the individual may be the perpetrator in itself, it is more so the institutions and the local authorities that get held accountable when it comes to the redress scheme.
Okay.
So, the likes of, remembering names, anything like that. In terms of any abuse suffered, that can be from any staff members in residential care, schools, churches, anything, and then also from residents and children alongside you as well. If they've abused you in any way, then that all ticks the boxes for this redress scheme.
Okay. Because I was in care for 4.5 years, and in the 4.5 years whilst I was in care, I never really experienced abuse as such. Apart from one occasion where I was restrained, and I was restrained by a guy who I remember his name was Stuart in one of the children's homes, and he restrained me in such a way that it was I felt really uncomfortable. I mean, obviously it's not comfortable getting restrained, but he had his knees on my hands, so his penis was right up against my face. That's the only thing that ever happened when I was in care that traumatised me. It was like he didn't need to react like that, and I wasn't needing to be restrained.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it just felt a bit pervy.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
But apart from that, like I say, I was in some of the worst places, and I never ever witnessed or experienced anything bad apart from that one thing that stuck.
Yeah, of course, I understand that. Well, that is still applicable within the scheme. So you are more than entitled to, you know, be compensated for that. In terms of, you know, the levels of abuse, you know, you've got physical abuse that's in there. That is a form of sexual abuse as well. Because, you know, without it being a full intentional, or he's made it, you know, look unintentional, it's clear to anybody what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
He's trying to intimidate you in a sexual way.
Well, it worked. It worked because it was, like I say, I got in trouble and stuff like that as a kid when I was in care.
Yeah.
But I was never physically restrained apart from that one time. And like I say, the way I was restrained, it was uncalled for to be restrained in the first place. And the type of restraint that he did, it just felt really pervy and, you know, it wasn't nice.
Excuse me. Yeah. No, of course. What was the name of that case, I think?
That was called Wallacewell Children's Home.
Wallacewell Children's Home, yeah.
I was in one in Airdrie, which was like a children's home. It was like a semi-detached house, you know, knocked into like one building sort of thing. That was my first care experience. And then I went to Wallacewell, which is the one where that happened.
Yeah.
And then after that, I was put into an assessment centre called Cardross.
Yeah.
Which you probably might have heard of. And then after that, I was in Care Law.
Yeah.
Which
okay,
is one
yeah.
that's really, really well documented about the abuse and stuff.
Yeah.
But like I say, my experience of Care Law is completely different to a lot of the accounts that have, you know, came forward since, and I never ever witnessed or seen anything like that. And in fact, one of the guys that's in prison for abusing kids, he was one of my favourite teachers, and he was always dead helpful. And it's just amazing that, you know, like, that somebody that you looked up to could have turned out to be like that. But anyway,
excuse me. Yeah, no, it is a shock to the system, as they say, isn't it?
Yeah.
What year was it, what year was it when you were in Wallacewell?
I was born in 75. I went into care when I was 12, I think, and I was probably 13, so that would have been 89, yeah. And I was only there for about 3 months. I wasn't there for very long. They had took me for the first children's home to that one because it was closer to the family home. And they thought that by putting me closer to the family home, that it would somehow, I don't know, make my family situation better and that I would end up going back home. But my and dad were chronic alcoholics, and it never worked out like that. But they thought, well, she can go there, she can go back to a local school and this, that, and the next thing. And that's why I was there. But like I say, I wasn't there for long at all. Three months, I think, I was there.
Yeah, okay. Would you like for me to go ahead, obviously, with me, you know, answering your questions about the redress scheme and you feeling applicable? Well, you are applicable, not even feeling. You are applicable to the scheme. Would you like me to still go ahead with the process for you?
Yeah, what is the process?
Basically, I'm just going to grab some details from yourself in regards to, you know, some details before care, you know, one or two questions. Find out where you are registered with your GP. I'm just about to do a little bit of a brief statement from that experience that you've just told me about with that staff member.
Mm-hmm.
And all that is that with this brief statement, all these documents get sent out to you for you to electronically sign and send back. And then once we've got them documents back, we then send it off to the redress scheme in order to obtain an application number on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we get that application number. We make sure we've got your proof of identity and address as well, so we can verify who you are and to comply with anti-money laundering regulations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once your file is complete, you'll then go over to our investigations team, where they'll then submit subject access requests on your behalf. So they'll gather your care setting records, medical records, they'll get, you know, gather records or relevant records required to strengthen your case. And once they're all back, they'll then give you a call to book in to do a witness statement with you. And that's just expanding on, you know, this experience that you've had at Wallacewell, how it made you feel then, how it's made you feel now, how it still affects you. So they'll go into a much more greater detail than what I was today. And then once we've got everything ticked off and ready to go, we then send the final submission to the Scottish Redress Scheme, where a panel of three members will have a look over your story and the support and evidence that we've provided alongside your statement. And then they'll look at that story and then award you with an award that's, you know, relevant to what you've been through and what you have suffered from. So then you're compensated from the scheme then.
So I've also got quite a lot of my files from when I was in care, you know, like my panel reports and things like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of that's needed, but or if you can obtain that for them. But I've kept quite a lot of stuff from when I was in care. I don't know if there's anything that's specific to Wallacewell, but there's a lot about my history and why I was in care and the kind of things that happened whilst I was in care. Yeah. On a personal level, you know, like the situation and my family circumstances and that.
Yeah, but of course. Well, what I'll do is I'll make a note and speak to one of my colleagues in the investigations team and see if obviously we can either grab that from yourself if you'd like to share that, or whether we get separate information from when we get, you know, or when we request for your records, whether we won't get something so personal and just more so about your time in care and how long you were there, what, you know, details or events that have happened, and stuff like that. So I'll make a note of that and I'll speak to one of my colleagues and then I'll, you know, relay that the information that I get provided back to yourself. But yeah, from now until, you know, when the panel offers you an award, I'm going to say it's around a 10 to 14 months process.
Mm-hmm.
Only because the Scottish Redress Scheme themselves, they have a backlog of cases that have backed up, and they're currently recruiting for further panel members to try and reduce that backlog. So at the minute, that's the kind of time scale we're looking at. But between now and then, obviously, we do a lot of background work to get everything ready for, you know, for the final submission.
So in terms of your commissions, how does that work?
Yeah, so obviously I'll go through that with you as well, but I'll happily share that now. So me personally, I don't get a commission, just want to put that out there. But the fees that we take as a law firm, we take 16% plus VAT, so it's a capped percentage of 19.2%. So that's not any upfront payments, nothing like that. That just comes out from the final award at the end. And hand on heart, Angela, being really brutally honest with you, that's probably one of the lowest percentages I've ever witnessed in a law firm. There's people out there that are dealing with this scheme that are charging 25% plus. So for us, it's not really about the money. It's just obviously we need to, you know, me, myself and my colleagues have to be paid for what we've done for your case. But it's more so it's you getting the beneficial of your compensation, your apology and what you're deserved to, you know, have. So that's what we take. All in all, 19.2%.
Okay.
So we've even been kind enough to keep it just below 20.
so it's 19 something percent plus VAT.
No, so it's 16% plus VAT.
Which
totals your 19.2.
I don't imagine that I would get compensation, but we might as well try.
Believe you me, you will. Believe you me. I'm not just saying that. If you just had a physical restraint and that was that, then yeah, I'd say, you know, we are on the lower end of, you know, around about £10,000. £10,000 is the minimal that they can offer. In terms of the sexual intimidation, it goes to more than 10,000. And that's from my experience. I can't advise you on what it potentially would or could be. All I can advise you is that it is going to be past 10,000.
We'll stick it in and see what happens. Like I say, I've been in care law, I've been in Cardross. They're notoriously the worst settings, and I never experienced anything that I could call abuse or anything like that in them. But the children's home was the one that you know, traumatised me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And it's the one that I've thought about since then, nothing else. So like I say, it's not that I'm, you know, like I don't want to milk or anything like that, but that guy proper was a creep. And
yeah.
And the way he restrained me, it was bang out of order. So, you know, I don't know if it goes back to him and if he gets in trouble for it, but that's what stuck with me as a kid. And yeah, there was no need for it. There was no need to be restrained like that. There was no need to be restrained at all. I was only a 13-year-old girl, and it was, I think all the social workers were on strike at the time. And when you're young, you're just taking the piss, do you know what I mean? And because the social workers were on strike, we'll all go on strike as well then. And I think we barricaded ourselves in my bedroom. So I was called out as the instigator of the problem. And then when they took me out of that room, like I say, he restrained me for no reason. He could have just took me to one side. There was no need for physical contact at all. And then that happened. So, but yeah. Yeah, well, what else do you need for me at this point?
Well, just as we speak, I'm just typing up that experience that you've, you know, suffered from the staff member.
Yeah.
I just grab a few extra details so I've got everything in order, and then I'll send you these documents out via email. You'll also receive a link and a text as well, and it takes 2 minutes to sign our documents.
Right.
And then hopefully when I come into the office in the morning, you'd have signed and I've received them, and then I can send your application off when I come back into the office in the morning.
No worries.
All
right, yeah, that's fine.
Just bear with me a second. So I haven't done anything wrong to be strained in this way. The staff members were on strike. So the many staff.
I kind of remember what the guy's surname was. I know his name was Stuart, and I know that he was like the team leader on the in the unit part that I was in.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna when I go home, I'll dig out these care notes that I had for when I was in care, and see if I can find anything with his name on it anywhere.
Yeah. Okay. Would you say obviously when he's restrained you and he's had this kind of, you know, let's say crotch area in your face?
Mm.
Did
yeah.
he? Was he smothering your face in any way with it, or was it just close?
No, but
can you
imagine, I was lying on my back. He had his knees on like my muscles, you know, on my arms.
Yeah.
And he was practically sitting on my chest.
Okay.
So he was sitting on my chest with his penis right next to my face, and it was disgusting. It was horrible, and I was like, get off me, you know. I was like trying to wriggle my way out, but because of the way that he held me, I couldn't move.
Yeah.
And I had to just wait there until he decided that he was going to let me go.
Yeah, okay. Aren't I?
And it happened in the kitchen, on the floor in the kitchen. I can remember that as well.
Okay. It's pinned. And yeah, there's a clutch of it in my face. Okay, we are going to do a witness statement with you at a later date. This is once
mm-hmm.
you know, obviously received all your records back and whatnot, and it'll just be able to expand on what we've spoken about, but in more greater detail, you know, the effects on, you know, how it's made you feel, and you know how it affects you today, So. This story will get expanded on. So what you see when you go through these documents when you get home and whatnot, it's just a bit of a brief kind of summary of what happened.
Yeah.
But just want to know, Angela, was you known by any other names during your time in care?
It would have been my maiden name, so Martin, Angela Martin.
Angela Martin, okay. Changed by marriage.
I mean, I don't know, but when I turned 16, I was in care law, and I turned 16 in the January, and
yeah.
It felt like I was kicked out. It felt like, right, you're 16 now, we don't really want to deal with you anymore, fuck off.
Yeah.
And within a couple of months of being sent back to the parents that I had been away from for 4.5 years, I ended up pregnant.
Yeah.
So, in terms of neglect... That was neglect. but I was only 16. I don't know if because you're legally an adult back then that makes any difference. But my life might have been different if they had tried harder. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, of course, I understand. It is a little bit of a sticky one with some institutions and not all, because some of them, to be released is 16, and some of them are 18. So it is sticky grounds to be working around, but not obviously no doubt at all. Obviously, you know, mention that in your witness statement when it comes to, but it's fair the feelings on how you've been made to feel and treatment towards yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I just grab the names of your mother and father, please?
They're both dead. Is that? But my mum was Mary Martin and my dad was Thomas Martin.
Okay, perfect. I understand that they are both deceased. We do not contact them anyway. This is just more so when we're pulling, well, when the institutions are pulling your records from the archives, some of your records can be filed under the names of your mother and father. So it might not need to be provided, but at least we've got them, so we don't have to give you another call back and try and, you know, do your editing whilst you're in work.
No worries.
Am I able to just grab the name of the doctor's surgery that you're registered at, please?
The one I'm registered at now, where I live. So it's oh my god. Oh, what's it called? You have, yeah. Oh my god. The Limes. It's called the Limes. And it's in Walkden.
Yep, I've got that here on Hodge Road.
That's it. I hope you're not a bloody scammer. I'm giving you all this information on the phone.
No. Yeah. Do you know what? Honestly, I get it. Do you know what I mean? You know, these ads, you know, we put our ads out there on Facebook, on Google. But yeah, for your own peace of mind, if you look up INS Law, we have our regulatory numbers, solicitor numbers. We are
right. I did look at your website, so yeah.
We are an officiated law firm. We have a code of conduct to abide by, and we're not here to scam. And plus, I haven't even asked for your bank details yet, so I'm definitely not a scammer. Otherwise, I would have done that at the start and left you for another 20 minutes, and I would have been using your car by now. Okay. Can you remember the address that you lived in prior to being placed into care at all?
Yeah, it was 224.
Yep.
Ellesmere Street, which is ELLESMERE.
ELLE?
SMERE. Ellesmere.
Is that Little Holton in Manchester?
No, I'm Scottish. It's in Glasgow. The postcode is G22.
Yep,
5 Lima Blue.
Perfect. Yep. I just pop that one in there, and there. Okay, perfect. Okay, and just couple more questions. Have you received any relevant payments from criminal injuries in regards to the award for abuse or anything like that?
No.
Okay. And have you got any criminal convictions at all?
I do. When I was 15, I assaulted somebody and I also broke into a place to stay for the night. So they're still on my record.
Okay.
But like I was 15, I've never done nothing since, no.
Yeah. Okay, so have you...
I'm 51 now.
That's okay. Have you spent 5 or more years in prison for any of them offences?
Never. No. I'm a law-abiding citizen.
Perfect. That's just what I like to hear. So, yeah, obviously you understand how the redress scheme works. I do just need to advise you as well that you, from signing our agreements, you do have a 14-day cancellation period.
Okay.
So, obviously, you can cancel within that period for any reason without charge. If you choose, you can also authorise us to begin work immediately, whilst cancellation rights still remain. So, would you like that to be the case at all?
Yeah, whatever. I'm just going to leave it with you once I've done what I need today and then see what happens, so.
Yep, all right, perfect. That's fair enough. I've already told you about the... Oh, no, I haven't, but I will do. So the photo ID that we require, that's just a driver's license, a passport, or a birth certificate, alongside a proof of address dated within the last 3 months. You can send that to us via email or WhatsApp, whatever easier is for you. But I'll send them details to you after this call.
Okay.
Okay, and yeah, I am going to put you forward for the individually assessed payments and not the fixed one. So the fixed payment is it's just a fixed payment of £10,000, as I mentioned. But the individually assessed payment is up to £100,000. So I'm going to put you forward for that.
Okay.
Because I feel like this story and for that experience and, you know, that it's still, you know, being quite close to home for you to this day is quite an impact on you. So the documents that you're going to receive in the link via text and email very shortly, it's just going to be a client care letter. So that's a bit of a hi and welcome. This is who we are and what we're going to do for you. The conditional fee agreement, which is just explaining our percentages, that, you know, a bit of a breakdown for you on what we'll take. And then also a letter of authority as well. So that's just you giving us the right to act on your behalf in order to obtain the relevant records required to strengthen your case. And then also you'll see a part one and part two with an additional attached part two extra, which is just contained your statement. It's pretty easy to sign the forms. Just use the yellow kind of indicator.
Is it like a DocuSign thing? Is it an electronic signature?
So the little yellow box at the bottom, it'll tell you how many fields are required. If you actually click on that box, it will take you to the boxes that you need to sign. So once you've filled it in and you click apply, go back to that yellow box, click it again, and it'll just take you straight to the next one.
Right, okay.
Okay. Angela, do you have any questions for me at all?
No, I think I asked it.
Okay, absolutely perfect. If you do, this is my phone, my landline. You're more than welcome to give me a call if anything does pop into mind. If you need any further assistance, anything like that in terms of these forms, just drop me an email. I'm going to be leaving the office very shortly, so just drop me an email and I'll reply back to you when I come back in first thing.
No worries.
But other than that, as I said, it should be straightforward. So if you get them over or get them back to myself late this evening, I can then send this off first thing when I come back into the office.
Okay. All right, Andrew. That's great. Thanks very much. Cheers, then.
Not a problem. Thank you very much for your time. Have a wonderful evening.
You too. Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Angela. Cheers. Bye now.
Bye-bye.